Treat that was. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1. Last week we talked about John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Now that's just fun. Amen? John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That's fun. Amen. Have you ever been really scared? For me, it's, I can remember back to times when I was young that I was scared of the dark. I can remember having a flashlight, and this was back in the days when I had a CB radio, a base station beside my bed, and so I had this little green light that would cast over everything, you know, right there beside the bed. And it just felt like I wasn't, like the boogeyman wasn't going to get me as long as that light was on. We tend to get a little bit unnerved when we think about the darkness. And I can remember on the times that the electricity would go off or something like that, and I didn't have the, by the way, Deb, I like the necklace there. Is that a necklace or is that part? Okay. I got to have you stand up and demonstrate, because it's part of my sermon today. Jesus is the light of the world. Thank you, Deb. I want to welcome you who are joining us online this morning, and for Mark for catching that. We understand that the weather is cold, and so happy to be able to be having you join us and us joining with you in your homes this morning or on your mobile phone. And that's what this is all about, amen, getting together and giving the Lord glory. John is inspired to begin his gospel, like we talked about last Sunday, in the beginning. Now, not just in the beginning where Matthew and Luke begin, which was in the minds and hearts of Mary and Joseph, conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit, but John begins all the way at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John's calling them all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 as he begins his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So last week we talked about, and Bill, I've heard so many good things about your message, Bill. Thank you so much. I preached a similar message out at Lost Lake last week. In the beginning was the Word. So we talked about the Word as eternal truth. Today we're going to expand that a little bit and go into what John was talking about when he was talking about Jesus not only being the Word, but in him was life and he was the light of all men. So let's begin with 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. One of the things that we begin to understand when we look into the Gospel of John is that John really wants us to get this fact that everything that we can't recreate, like eternal truth and life and light, that's what God is. And that's what Jesus is. The Hadron Particle Collider beneath the border of France and Switzerland is comprised of a network of tunnels about 17 miles around. And the idea is that if we can collide atomic particles together, that we will create new elements that were present at the time of the Big Bang. And of course, the search is simple and yet complex in that we're looking for that particular Higgs boson particle where the spark of life spawned the rest of life as we know it. Now, I would estimate that the Hadron Particle Collider has cost trillions of dollars. I don't know, but you got to see pictures. Have you put pictures up there yet, Brad? It's an amazing, amazing thing. And it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 feet down. And this is a guy right here. I don't know if you can see it very well, but this is a guy right here. Now, Fermilab in Batavia, Illinois, is smaller than this, but there is a particle accelerator in Batavia, Illinois. And over 2,300 researchers have worked there and make their way to do research there. And they're not necessarily looking for the Higgs boson particle, but they are looking for ways to experiment with different results of particle collisions. And there's a lot of benefit that we're finding in the medical advancements and things by finding new elements by colliding these particles. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and He was the light of all men." Another thing that John makes sure that we get is that Jesus is the light of all the world. If you look over there in John chapter 8 and John chapter 12, Brad's going to say, "Where are you going, Pastor? Because that's not in my notes." Hang on, Brad. Just follow me the best you can. I kind of rewrote my sermon last night and didn't tell you. So, John chapter 8 and John chapter 12, you're going to love this. Have you ever experimented or thought about what it would be like to be blind? I had a friend in college, his name was Harry Brown, and he had fiery red hair, and he was a ministerial colleague and, you know, student in ministry. And I can remember chatting with Harry and realizing that a lot of the things that I took for granted, like reading, he had to have an assistant either read to him or he had to read in Braille. And of course, most of the textbooks that we had were not in Braille. Very few of them were available in Braille. And I began to think about how difficult it would be to not have sight. The first thing we think about when we think about not having sight is darkness. I tried to take Harry fishing one time. And I took him bait cast fishing. I thought he would enjoy it. And he got a kick out of feeling the lures. He said, are fish really this stupid that they would bite on that? And I said, yeah, I guess they are. But I was teaching him how to cast. You know, bait casting, you got to throw the bait out and reel it back in, and throw it out and reel it back in, throw it out. It's probably the wrong thing to take him, you know, wrong method of fishing probably. I forgot to tell Harry about the overhanging trees. It was terrible. Harry, I just assumed that Harry knew that the trees were there, you know what I'm saying? And so the bait got hung up in the tree and it just turned out not very good. Darkness in the Bible symbolizes the domain of sin. So you have this story in John chapter 8. John is making sure that we understand that Jesus is the light. So John makes sure and records an interaction that Jesus has with a man who was born blind. So if you turn over there to John chapter 8, you'll see that this man was obviously a focus of Jesus' ministry. Questions began to arise from the disciples. Did this man sin? Is that why he's blind? And Jesus said, no, this man didn't sin, nor his parents, but this man is blind so that the glory of God may be revealed. So John records that Jesus made a little mud, spit on the ground, made some mud, and he put it on the man's eyes. And the man went home seeing. Chapter 9, thank you. Chapter 9, for those of you who need to know that your pastor got it wrong. chapter 9. And then over there in John chapter 12, you'll see that Jesus is making another statement about who he is. Jesus stands up in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles had to do with it was a yearly festival that the Jews had to commemorate that they had been wandering in the desert, and they had to fix up little booths as temporary shelters so that they could stay. And so the Feast of Tabernacles was a yearly commemoration of their time in the desert. And you have this idea of these little tents being put up with little lights. Now, you remember that they didn't have street lights, and the only lights were candles or those lit by, you know, flame and oil jar. And Jesus stands up in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, stands up in the middle of the temple, and he declares himself the light of the world. Now, let's go back there. In the temple, high walls, the only light in the city, besides the little lights maybe that were around, were these large jars filled with oil and a wick. And they would dance and celebrate the lighting of these lights. And Jesus stands up in John chapter 12 in the middle of that Feast of Tabernacles and declares himself not only the light to the Jews, but the light of the world. Feast of Tabernacles was the only yearly celebration, the only feast that the Jews invited the Gentiles to. So when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," the Jews were like, "That means everybody." When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The word "follow" here is in the present case. That means that as we follow, we will not be walking in the darkness. One of the things that we understand from Jesus' teaching is that when he comes into a life, he is not just seeking to save us from our sins. He's seeking to save us from ourselves. Amen? And that light illuminates not only the sin in our lives, but all of the dark areas of sin and potential sin that we would be led into by bad thoughts, habits, hang-ups, entrapments that we may not even yet be aware of. Jesus shines his light into every area of our life. The Old Testament is full of examples of the Messiah being referenced to as the light. In Micah chapter 7, verse 8, Micah's confession is, "When I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." Light is used to describe the work of Christ 16 times in the Gospel of John. John's first letter declares, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, John says, if we claim to be in fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus, purifies us from all sin. Let's go back to John chapter 8, verse 12, when it talks about whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. You know, we can acknowledge that there has been a Messiah come. Jesus invites us to follow him. It means a daily pursuit. A daily welcoming his illumination into every area of our life. So I don't know, Steve, it means I can't get away with anything. It means I can claim to have the light. I can claim to be in fellowship with him. But if I'm really walking in the darkness, Jesus says, I know. But if we walk in the light, if we pursue him and follow him as the light, if we're walking in his illumination, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. But you see, that's voluntary, isn't it? We can choose not to walk in the light. In fact, the Bible says that men prefer darkness over light because their deeds are evil. There's an old story of a desert nomad who awakened hungry in the middle of the night, and he lit a candle and began eating dates out of his little dish. And he ate one, and he looked at it, and there was a worm. And so he pitched that one out of the tent. And then he took another one and looked, and he ate the bite out of it, and there was a worm. So he pitched that one, and he thought, I'm not going to be able to eat any of my dates unless I blow out the candle. And he blew out the candle, and he enjoyed the rest of the dates. Many there are who prefer to walk in darkness and deny the light as a reality. The fact is, though, this is where it gets exciting. Yes, there are two domains. There's the domain of light and the domain of darkness. But light overcomes the darkness. Let me just read John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the works of God may be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And after this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he said, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. This got Jesus in big trouble. Because, you know, it was the Sabbath, and you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath, but healing was considered work. And so here Jesus was, having done the right thing, the beautiful thing, the healing thing, but he was in trouble with the religious establishment. So they really came down hard on him. They began to grill him. Who do you think you are, serving as your own witness? When he's saying, standing up and saying, I am the light, you've got Matthew and Luke who are really intent on following Jewish law and making sure that we understand that each miracle is documented by two witnesses. Just watch in your miracles, in those gospels, you'll see they document that there were two witnesses for those miracles. John stands up and he says, this miracle, Jesus doesn't need any additional witness. He stands as his own. Sadducees and Pharisees would not accept that. So they went, they grilled Jesus and they grilled this man's parents. And then they grilled the guy himself. And this guy was just like, all I can tell you is that I was blind and now I can see. Do you want to follow him too? This man had already considered himself as a follower of Jesus Christ. Whoever follows me will walk in the light and not walk in darkness. Do you want to follow him too? It takes boldness to walk in the light. I can remember working in a body shop as a young man, and I remember how discouraging it was to, you know, work with body filler and plastics and things and have that fender looking pretty good, and then you turn on the overhead, you know, and you realize, I got a lot of work to do on that fender yet, because it showed everything. It takes courage to walk in the light, amen? It takes courage to walk out and allow our lives to be illuminated by Christ, because it shows everything. As we close this morning, I guess I had a revelation as a young man, probably a teenager, early teen. I can remember looking up into the night sky and thinking, why, look at all those stars. And then putting it together in my mind, wait a minute, our sun is a star. We're just really up close, 93 billion miles away or something like that, million miles, I'm not sure which. Anyway, it's really close in comparison to, you know, universal terms. You see, that sun created in the beginning when God, Jesus, said, let there be light, and there was light. And I've thought about all of the people in my life and all of the opportunities that have come along, sent by God, that have brought me to where I am here today. Points of light. I don't think it's a coincidence that God sent a star for the wise men to follow. Do you? Light, showing the light. I think of people like my junior high Sunday school teacher, Uetta Ratliff, who put up with us boys. We were troublemakers, but we loved it. I mean, making trouble, but also we loved being in her class. Oh, sure, we resisted our parents. We didn't want to go, but we loved being there. You know what I'm saying? Because Uetta was invested in us. She bugged us, Steve, during the week. Will I see you Wednesday night? Will I see you Sunday morning? And back then I resisted. But today, oh, how I welcome that light that came into my life. Amen? I am the light of the world. I also wonder if maybe all of us ought to think about our relation to the light. Christmas is a time of lights. It's a time when we enjoy like light shows. There's a tremendous power to the light. It brings all the monsters and all of the critters and all of the scary stuff. It just makes them either retreat into further darkness or just be revealed for what they really are. really not that scary when illuminated by the light of life. Amen. I just want to ask us this morning as we close, is there any dark, big, scary monster? It may be an unexpected or unprepared for financial necessity. It may be a health scare. It may be just a fear or an insecurity. It may be an anxiety. It may be hard telling what. I think Jesus invites us to open up and let the light shine in. Say, Lord, we open our lives to you. May there be no dark, hidden places. Father, illuminate every part of our lives, every corner, every nook and cranny, every place, Lord. We know that as we do that, and it's a little scary to do so because we know that all the dirt's going to show. But Lord, help us understand, I pray, as John understood, that the power demonstrated at creation, with you, God, being the creator of eternal truth, the creator of life and the creator of light, are certainly able. You're certainly able, God, to take care of that darkness or that fear or that anxiety or that problem or that issue. Jesus, you are bigger than what's the matter. And we welcome your light into every area of our life. And we step into the light. We voluntarily allow the light to shine. And it's going to help us, Lord, we know, make different decisions. It's going to help us see what we're eating. Maybe it has a worm in it. It's going to help us, God. And so we welcome you coming into our lives, the God of all creation, so profoundly simple and yet complex, coming as a baby. Father, we welcome you in all of your brilliance to come into our hearts and lead our lives as you led the Israelites in the wilderness with a pillar of fire by night. Lord, lead us, I pray. May our lives be illuminated by your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I know. When I got up this morning, I was like, sun is so beautiful compared to last night. Jeanette and I looked out the window and it was blizzarding and dark and blowing. And we're like, there's no way we're having church tomorrow. And then we got up in the morning and it was brilliantly bright. And we're like, man, I think we can do this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hey, let's just remember this day as a special occasion, shall we? And remember that not all of us were able to make it. Some of us have to keep in mind that, you know, a belt could break on a car. And I talked to Ella this morning, and we certainly don't want her stranded between here and Princeton on the cold road. And there's other factors to be mindful of, you know, whenever it's this cold. But thank you for being here, and thank you for joining us online this morning. And I'm looking forward to everybody getting back together next Sunday. We'll be out at Lost Lake, remember? and looking forward to that. It's going to be an exciting time to join the two churches together for a Sunday and just to experience that synergy that's going to be created between the two churches. It'll be a great thing. May God bless you and keep you. May the light of His grace shine upon you and give you peace. Let's walk in the light. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.